Rabbi, we're up to page Samaches. We're up to where it says the top of Samaches, V'lohem Yichoshev, the top line, V'lohem. The top line, the middle of the line, towards the end of the line. Give me 1 second to find the place. Al Yichabit, Al Yichabit, we're after the second line. Al Yichabit, okay? The second line, page Samaches, on the second line, in the third word on the line. That's where we're up. Al Yichabit, okay? These are very important halachas. Okay, many times people are known as Mister, and you call them Rabbi. They do not want to be called Rabbi. They do not view it as a compliment. So therefore, do not do that. Okay, it's not one of the most sensitive things that is a person's name. If a person does not want to be called by a nickname, it's a terrible. It's not a good thing. You're not allowed to call a person by a nickname if that's not what they want to be known by. Don't make up nicknames for people. As an extension of that halacha, a person does not want to be called by a certain title. Don't give him a hard time. Okay, don't give them a hard time and don't call a person by a title that they don't want to be known by. Al Yichabed, do not honor a person, Bamesh Mispayesh, with a name or a title in which he will be embarrassed. See, the Gemara, this was earlier by the Sefer HaChassidim. He always adds things that you're not going to find in the Gemara. The Gemara Chazal only talk about calling a person by a nickname. His name is Avraham. So you call him Abe. Who asked you to call me Abe? My name is not Abe. Don't make up new names for me. My name is Avraham. Don't make up new names for me. So therefore, this is something that is not proper. Over here, he's coming to you. Don't call a person Rabbi Abe, Rabbi Avraham. If my name is Mr. Avraham, don't call me Rabbi. Al Yichabed Eschaveh B'Nesh Mispayesh. In this, that he is embarrassed. Kegoin Shekardim Lo Bishmo. Ordinarily, when he goes into the street, they call him Avraham. V'hu, and you walk in the street, you see him say, Rebbe, v'hu kari Rebbe. What are you calling him Rebbe for? He doesn't want to be called by the name Rebbe. It's not what he's known by. Ki hu mispayesh b'zeh, and certainly when you do it in public, he's embarrassed. V'doy melo lilit sonus ulila'ag. This is considered to be mockery. So therefore, that's an important halacha. A name is a very sensitive area in a person's. It touched upon a person's neshama. When the person Rachman al is Achamei of Eshem, when he's nifta, when he goes to the kevin, the last thing they do before they bury the person, before they cover him with earth, is they say, "Don't forget your name. Your name is Ploni ben Ploni." That's the last thing the neshama hears in this world. Okay, there's a tradition that the neshama, at the time of Kavura, at the time of Misa, does not go anywhere. He's still here. He's hovering over his body. And the neshama does not go, is not taken to Gan Eden, taken to the next world, whatever all this means, until after the Kavura. And that's why we're so makban halonis hames, because as long as the neshama has to remain hovering over his body, and it's very uncomfortable. It's a very uncomfortable thing for the person to see his body begin to decay and to stick around here when he no longer has any makam in this world. So that's why there's a hakpada, to bury the body as soon as possible, to remove the pain that the body experiences by the neshama experience by hovering over the body. But the neshama, this is what the Chazal say, we don't know how these things work. The neshama is there, and before the neshama leaves, it goes, it's taken to the next world. It's that happens right after they do the kavura. And the last thing they say to the neshama is, "This is your name. Do not forget your name." So obviously, it's such a sensitive thing. What a name is when the person is alive. It's not proper to give a person a nickname. And here he's coming to air. Don't give a person titles that he does not want to hear. Below Yichabit, another example. Yichabit Shem Rabba Bifnei Rabbi Yachad. This is a very, very sensitive thing. Is do not give kavod to one rebbe in the presence of another rebbe. Okay, now, we don't really appreciate this today, because today we don't really have real rebbeim. Tamei Chazal, a person, not a rebbe, that taught him most of what he knows. When you were a parent, there was not a, before, only in modern times do we really have formal yeshivas. We have a rebbe that teaches 25 students, and every grade you go to another rebbe, and the person of their lifetime, they have many, many multiple rebbeim. Tamei Chazal wasn't like that. You had a melamed. A melamed taught you for years. He studied with you one-on-one, maybe one-on-two. there's a person who taught you Roiv Chochmasai, and the Rebbe has pride. I made you. I taught you everything that you know. If you see, if you happen to have another Rebbe, and you give another Rebbe kavod in the presence of your first Rebbe, do you know how painful that is? You know how painful that is to the Rebbe? It's very painful. It's just a matter of common sense. V'lo yichabed shame rabbi, do not give honor to your Rebbe b'fnei rabbi yachan in front of another Rebbe. V'lo yetz rabbi b'fanav, and do not give kavod. V'lo yetz the Rebbe of your Rebbe. Do not give kavod to your Rebbe's Rebbe in the presence of your Rebbe. What do we mean? Sheyoymar, sheyoymar. You'll say to the rabbi Ployni, Rabcha, so-and-so who is your Rebbe. That's not their Heretz. Their Heretz is, it's only a business who my Rebbe is. All you have to know is, I am your Rebbe. Don't start making, did you study under that rabbi? No. So what are you going and making calculations, who is my Rebbe? It's only a business where I come from. Right now, all we have here is me and you. Don't go start giving cover to my Rebbe's Rebbe. It's interesting because you would think it's not necessarily such a bad thing. Obviously it is. The Gemara brings a raya. Here's the story. What?
How do you handle that?
With a lot of sensitivity and you can't generalize. Every situation is different. Whatever it is, you're just giving you general rules. When you have a situation where you have the ability, the option of being sensitive to these matters, you should strive to do so. You have to also understand that these type of situations today don't really exist that much, because the system of education today is so different than it was time of Chazal, so it's hard really to find the situation where you will be in violation. I mean, every situation is different. But you have to remember, Talmud Chazal was very different in that you study primarily under one teacher. And he brings a proof to this. What's the proof of this? In the Gemara Shari, Amrlo Talmid Rabbi Eliezer. The Talmidim said to Rabbi Eliezer, Al Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Kvar Nimnu Olecha Chavercha Vihitiruhu. So what is the sensitivity? He said, your Chavercha. He did not, he wasn't a Chaver. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer was put in Shamta. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer was put in Cherem. And the Talmidim said to Rabbi Eliezer that you can come out of Cherem. You can come out of your home because the Cherem was released. Who was the one who released him from his Cherem? Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbe. Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbe was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So why then didn't the Talmidim say to Rabbi Eliezer that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Rabcha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, your Rebbe has released you from Shamta, from Cherem? He didn't say that. He called Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai your friend. Why did he call Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai your friend? He wasn't the friend of Rabbi Eliezer. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Eliezer. The answer is, it's not the place of a student to say to his Rebbe, your Rebbe. It's not derech eretz. You are my Rebbe. I have for you yiras haroimimus. By acknowledging that you're just you're also a nobody. You also are a student of another Rebbe. In the sense that's taking away from the yiras haroimimus. We see, we totally don't appreciate this. I'll give you an example.
Why do we have to give any descriptive title for Yochanan ben Zakkai? Why did you say Yochanan
ben Zakkai? He said chavercha. Why did he say maybe? I don't know. I guess he had. I'm not sure. He had to give some type of title.
That's too familiar.
It's, you have to say something. The point is, he did not use the correct term. Technically, what he should have said to Rabbi Eliezer was in trouble. He was put in Cherem. The students of Rabbi Eliezer are coming to tell him good news, that he has been released from the Cherem. Who was the one that released him? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Rebbe of Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, When the students tell Rabbi Eliezer, we have good news for you to tell you that you, our Rabbi Eliezer, we want to tell you that your Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, has released you from the Cherem. That the Sefer HaChassidim, he's a very sensitive person, the Sefer HaChassidim, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, is telling us is a lack of Derech Eretz. Because when you're talking to your Rebbe, don't look at your Rebbe, don't go imply you're our Rebbe, but you're also a nothing, because you are subordinate to someone else. That's none of our business whom you are subordinate to. Our business is you are our Rebbe. In our world, there's no one that exists but you.
It's understandable that to release him, you have to have a person bigger than him. You can't have just
so what do they say? He says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a very great person. And the students called him Chavei Recha. The students called Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They
his
gave.
Friend, not their friend.
He called them, no, your friend. Your friend, our Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, you have a friend, you have a colleague. Your colleague has released you from the Shamta. The term colleague is incorrect. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was not a colleague of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Rebbe of Rabbi Eliezer. So why then did they use the term Chavei Recha, not Rebbe? Of course, he is. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was his Rebbe. I don't know what the problem is over here. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has the authority to release Rabbi Eliezer ben Zakkai from this situation. He has the authority. The only question is, how do we refer to him? Rabbi Yehuda Chos is telling us that the technically correct title for the students to have said to Rabbi Eliezer is, Rabbi Eliezer, you have a problem. We have good news. The problem is over. Your Rebbe has released you from your situation.
It has to be a Rebbe. It has to be somebody bigger.
No, it doesn't. A colleague is just as good. Yes, it is. Obviously, it's just as good. Equal is just as good. So, but they technically did not say the correct expression. They did not say. So why not? Why did they shine from what they should have said to saying something different? What?
What was the correct expression?
Your Rebbe. They should have said, Rebbe Eliezer, we have good news. Your teacher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, has released you from the Shamta, from the excommunication. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the teacher of Rabbi Eliezer. But they did not say that. Look at the words. The words were, they said to him, Shor Amru Loi Talmidov, Rabbi Eliezer, Al Rabbi concerning Rabbi Yochanan, Al Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Kvar. I don't understand. What's the question?
You started off by saying they shouldn't have reminded the Rebbe that he had a Rebbe above him. It was none of their business. So you couldn't call him your Rebbe.
Correct.
And then you said you couldn't call him your Chaver.
No, you could. That's what they did. That's correct what they did. Look, v'hitiru. They said upon him, Chavei Recha. Here, look at the words inside. Read the words inside. Second line from on page Samaches, second line from the bottom. V'loi es rabbi b'fonav. Do not mention the teacher of your teacher. That is the lack of Derech Eretz. Again, today, it's very foreign to us, this whole thing today, because we live in a different world. I know that. But let's at least learn the sensitivity. It's true. Today, these type of situations, today. Ha'iluchot v'ha'iluchot. Your Rebbe has the Messiah. And that's why we're studying by you. My Rebbe has the Messiah. He learned by this Rebbe and from this Rebbe all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet, when you speak to him in a conversation, you don't highlight the fact that you are just part of this whole transition. Okay, Mr. Neiman. Okay, read the words on. V'loi es Rabbi b'fonav. Do not mention the term Rebbe in front of your Rebbe. In other words, don't remind him that he also has Rebbe. That is a lack.
He knows very well
who my Rebbe is. And he brings a proof to this. For example, Shiyom al Rabbi, do not say to your Rebbe, Ploini Rabcha, you know what happened today? That Ploini so-and-so, Harav HaGoyin, your Rebbe said this. That's a lack of derech eretz, because it shows that we don't hold you to be the end of the line. We don't hold you to be the yiras harimus as our Rebbe. You're just part of this chain, the hierarchy in Klal Yisrael. So it's true, there's no doubt about it, but it's still not derech eretz to say it. Not everything that you know, you say. Okay, I know what color your pajamas are. I don't have to go tell the whole world the color of your pajamas. It's not necessary. It's a lack of derech eretz. Sharei, Amru lo talmidu Rabbi Yochel Rabbi Eliezer, the students of Rabbi Eliezer, they said to Rabbi Eliezer, al Rabbi, concerning Rabbi Eliezer's Rabbi, whose name was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, they said, we have good news that he, kivar, it already has happened, nimnu, they took a vote, olecha, concerning your situation, chaveirecha, your colleagues. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is not the colleague of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the Rebbe of Rabbi Eliezer. So why do they change it from Rebbe to Chaveirecha? Sensitivity to honor. Now this particular example is not a very good example for us in today's day. Today you say, he's a Talmud of Aaron Kopper. Oh, it's the Gresta Kovet. Today, because we live in a whole different type of generation today. It's a whole, because the system of education is different. You don't have one Rebbe. You have a million Rebbe and the Hulu. Obviously, as I said many times, today the system is completely different, so therefore this does not apply to us on a practical level. But at least take away from this something called sensitivity. People don't, it's not very, fitting. You have a rabbi. Everybody asks, is this true? Okay, we're putting the rabbi on the spot. Give a drasha.
My name is Shmuel.
You give a knockout drasha, right? A knockout drasha. And someone comes over to you and says, oh, you know, last week I went to this shul to my children in this community, and the rabbi, did he give a drasha? And he said this, and he said that. And he goes on and on singing the praises of the other rabbi. That's not derech eretz. You have a rabbi, he works very hard, he devotes himself to his job. It's not very pleasurable when someone comes over, it totally ignores every, especially right after the rabbi knocks himself out, performs top of his game. Right after he finishes his performance, it's the top of his game. The first thing is the Baal HaBos comes over and says, starts singing the praises of another rabbi and telling you how great, v'chulu. There's a time and a place for everything. It's not now the time to go and sing the praises of someone else who's in the same business. Bechol Adam Miskane. A person is jealous of all the B'nai Unasai. Chutz M'B'nai V'Talmidai. So it's not, it's just a matter of, it's common sense. It's common sense. Unfortunately, it's not so common, but it's common sense to have a certain degree of sensitivity. I'll give you an example. Someone told me a story about his Rebbe, a very big Rashi from the previous generation. He came to America, you know, European. So the student went to visit him in the summer in a bungalow colony. Went to visit his Rebbe. And the student called the Rebbe, I'm going to be here in the summer. And he makes an appointment, he comes, he knocks on the bungalow. So the Rebbe says, wait a minute, I have to put on my kapata. And he's teaching the student a lesson. A Talmud doesn't see the Rebbe without a kapata. You know, that's not a Talmud Rebbe relationship. It's not doing out of gaiva. It's a different type of generation. We don't today. Adrab, today, if the Rebbe doesn't take off his shirt, and put on swimming trunks and go swimming with the child, so the Rebbe is guilty of child abuse. It's a whole. Unfortunately, we've gone to a crazy extreme today. Okay, we've gone to a different, depending where you go. And if a Rebbe has too much COVID, right away you say, "What's Balgaiva? What are you doing over here? Just act normal." Today it's very, very hard to find the right balance. Okay? But go back in the previous times. And the person told this to me, it made a roshim on him. That's right. The relationship I have with this person, 18-year-old boy, you have a man who's 70 years old, he's a European, he learned in the biggest yeshivas, Baruch Ber, all the Gedolim. He comes from a different world. That's right. It's not derech eretz for an 18-year-old boy to see his Rebbe, who came from a whole different world, to see him in short sleeve shirt. It's not. The Rebbe there's a tzura of how the Talmud should remember the Rebbe. There's a certain yiras haroimimus. Okay, do you have that today? I don't know if you even have that, how much you have that today anymore. You know, we live in a different world today. But there is such a thing. And then when you speak to the Rebbe, oh, I'm going to go and you're going to tell them, oh, this one, that one, that one. By talking like that, there was just a simple lack of sensitivity. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Further on the page. Okay, next. The Al Yehoneh Me'an. We'll come back and we'll read some of the footnotes if you have some time in a few moments. The Al Yehoneh. Going further, another halacha from the Sefer HaChassidim. A person should not. We're up to the top line, the first line on page Samach Test, the top line, after Yud Beis. So we'll come back and we'll see if we have time. The Al Yehoneh Me'an Visonusoi. A person should not take joy in the fact that you're known as a humble person, right? Everyone says you're so humble. He explains what it means. This means, kivor amarnu shelo yishabech adam ba'anava shaloi. A person should not brag how humble he is. Oxymoron, right? Doesn't make any sense. A person should not show off how humble he is. In other words, you hear people to say, you hear this, some they argue. Let me tell you, you hear so often public speakers, people are accused of doing something that appears not to be right. And they say, let me tell you who I am. Let me tell you who I am. Oh, I did this, 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 and this, and this. So do you think now I'm doing this in my honor? So it's they're under attack because they did something which appears to be not proper or not honorable for who they are. And they want to show this was a hoira shah. I want to take away the suspicion. And the way you show that it was an exception, let me first present my resume. Let me tell you my accomplishments, and you'll see I'm not that type of person that's looking for honor. I'm not that type of person that needs this. Look what I've done. Don't accuse me of being nasty. I once heard about a person who was involved. He gave Musser. Now it's coming back to memory. Someone who was not religious. He was very, 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 very. He made a public statement criticizing a certain group of non-religious Jews. And so they attacked him. You know, you can't talk like that about a Jew that's not religious. So what are you? You attacking me? Do you know how much I love these Jews? Do you know what I did for them? You know, and he starts telling over stories. I did this, and I gave this amount of money, and I was involved in this program to be makar of them and not makar of them. So now when I made a statement that was critical of a non-religious Jew, don't think it's coming out of hate. It's coming out of love. Okay, there's truth to that, and definitely at some point, definitely that can be required to remove the suspicion. V'yisim nikim yashemu mi Yisrael. But in the process, there's been collateral damage. You're bragging about your humility. I'm a very great person. I love non-religious Jews. I want to be makar of them. I've given away all of my money for this purpose. I've done this and I've done this. So just because I went and I made a nasty statement, which was not interpreted well, don't hold me accountable. Maybe the better thing for you to say is, I made a mistake. Chotasi avisi poshati. It was a very bad mistake, and I apologize. Maybe that would be more effective than saying, I said this nasty comment out of love. And the proof that it came out of love is because I want to present to you my resume. So what is better? To say I made a mistake and don't take pride in all of your accomplishments and display to the entire world what a great person you are, or to say I said it out of love. Listen, who's to judge? I'm not coming to judge anyone. Every situation is different, but you also have to take into consideration this principle: is it's never ever good to brag. It's never good to brag about all of your accomplishments. It really doesn't do anything when the day is over. What counts is now. Right now, there's a situation on the ground. We have to find a solution. What was is for the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's in his cheshbon, not for you to go and present to the world. What? Did somebody else brag about Yahalolcha zar v'loy picha. Right now, we're coming to that. Exact. Someone else can do it for you. Let's see over here. Shenemar yahalolcha zar. It says in the pasuk we learn this in Mishlei. Let a stranger praise you. V'loy picha. Put the comma before the word v'loy. Yahalolcha zar. Let a stranger praise you. V'loy. Never praise yourself under any circumstance. It's at the end of the day, it's not going to accomplish anything. What was, was. If you need to accomplish something, it's not, if someone else happens to praise you, very good. So you didn't do it. Someone else happened to fill them on the details behind your back. What? PR person? I'm a PR person? What do you mean? I don't understand.
No, I'm saying somebody else does.
Someone else has to do it. Someone else has to do the praise. Now there is a joke. It's not really a joke. I don't think it's a chazal. I think it's that some people they say yahalol chazar. This is the way the gevurah is. I don't, maybe it's a chazal even. Yahalol chazar. Let a stranger sing your praises. Viloy, kama. But what happens if there's no one there to sing your praises? Then picha, open up your mouth. And like a fire hydrant, let the world know how great you are. Now there's truth to that. If you don't stand up for yourself, who will? Okay? If you... What? Im loy, im ein ani li mi li. Im ein ani li mi li, mi shani li atzmi moni. So what is it? Obviously, like everything else in life, it's a balance. There's a balance. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. Even when you have to do it, you don't have to say everything. you can leave something over, you know, leave over some praise about yourself that the world did not hear. When a person tells you, tell me about yourself, ask a person to tell me about yourself. You know, you hear not just what they've done, you hear about their personality. It's very frightening. On a resume, in for a job, you want a good job, a shidduch resume, job resume. What do you put down on paper? Okay, you have to go and say it all. You can get the information across in a delicate way, and you can get the information across with a sledgehammer. Of how great you are and all of your accomplishments. Even when you're going for a job, when you think an employer has in front of him 50 resumes for a job, and people have a skill set, everyone has the same skills, it doesn't speak volumes in the way the potential, the candidate presents his skills on paper. Those who like to brag, and those who are, you know, they get across the fact that they are qualified for the job. So, you know, some, unfortunately, there are some employers that are just as foolish as the employees, and they're looking also for a hot shot. But someone who has enough seichel realizes that humility is worth quite a bit. Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal agrees with you.
Let's say it again. I can't hear.
The Wall Street Journal said that if you have a boss who's willing to admit that he doesn't know at all, that he's made a mistake, and he's willing to listen, that impresses the employees.
Of course. Then the boss common sense.
Tries to gloss it over, tries to bull his way
naturally
through it, you know, and can't admit that he's wrong.
Except that he's
it's one of the major things of a leader and a good manager.
Okay, so this is a very critical halacha. Yahalel chazar kama v'loy picha. There are exceptions. There are times yahalel chazar v'loy, then picha. There are exceptions, but derech klal, it's always better just to say, you know, something made a mistake. Let's not go and look back at my history, what I've done, not done. Who cares? That's for the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'ein shikha lifnei chisei chevodecha. If you're a maimin, don't worry. The Ribbono Shel Olam has it all recorded. It's all there, and Hashem will take care of what needs to be taken care of. It's not your place to toot your own horn. It doesn't. In the long run, You see, from life experience, it doesn't do you well. Here he's talking about the exception. You want to go let people know you have a resume. I want a job. I want to be a Rebbe. I have a resume. I have the information. So he said, there aren't exceptions, but obviously he has to be done with balance. Here, David is singing his own praise. He's tuning his horn. I am Tamim Imo. I am complete with Hashem. David is saying about himself that he's a tzaddik. Ki shamarti darchei Hashem. I have guarded the ways of Hashem. Why is David saying this? Obviously, David has a purpose in knowing he has credentials. People should learn from him. Study my Tehillim. Study my Maisim. Learn from me. I am telling you, I am qualified to be your teacher for all generations. Permitted. We find another example regarding a story in the Gemara of Bameh. This is Gemara in Masechta Megillah, and there the Gemara says, what was the story of the Gemara? I will see on the bottom. You'll see on the bottom over here, on the footnote over here. But the Talmidav on the side test on the Perush. Okay, you look over here on the Perush. Ratzel Leimar. All you saw Tanik and the board perikar the Gemara shegidu atonim Talmid Ma'isim Atoyvim for which they were zeicha to arichas yom. Okay, so there's a whole discussion over there. Exactly that we find that Talmidei Chacham who had arichas yom were questioned by their students. Bane herachta yomim. And the person is 100 years old. He tells them there is good deeds. Isn't that bragging? The answer is no, it's not. He's trying to teach them a lesson. It comes a point in time where the cover doesn't mean anything for these people. I went to Rav Meir. We went to a person. His name is, or maybe remember his name. I forgot his name already. Lunder. Lumner. No. Lunder, his name is Avraham Lunder. He's 100 years old, B'li Ayin Hara. 100 years old. We went in because he told me that he met my great-grandfather, Rav Aaron Levine. Hashem Yinkum Dama. Yes, or the Reish Sharaf in Poland. So we wanted to hear. So he didn't really know him. He just saw him a few times. He shook his hand. He went over to him. He gave him a shalom. He heard him speak a few times. But in the process, he told us about life before the war. So and I have it all recorded on video. I'm going to put it up one day. I'll put it up. You can see. He was 100 years old, and he's clear as a bell. Clear as a B'li Ayin Hara. Unbelievable story. Stories about how he survived the war. He hid with dead bodies. There were piles and piles of dead bodies. So he just lied down in between the dead bodies so they should think that he's dead. And he lied there for 3 days, didn't twitch. They thought he was dead. He was part of the wall of dead bodies until the Americans came to liberate. It was the end of the war. Unbelievable stories. Unbelievable Yisurim. So at the end, I had the chutzpah to say to him, one last question. Baneh herachta yamin. Baneh herachta yamin. So what did he say? So he said a few things, but what I took out of it was the first Baba Vareba, or the second? I don't think, Ben-Sion, the second? He says he called him over once, and he gave him a bracha. He didn't go to him for the bracha. Basically, the Baba Vareba, he called him in to him. And he told him, he said to him, we're living in a very big Eis Tzara, and there's a lot of people are going off. Just be strong, be mechazek yourself, and it'll be good. So to me, you know, that's a very interesting thing. You know, who knows? No one knows anything, right? But I asked him the question at least. He didn't really give me an answer, but he did mention that story. He just said that the Baba Rebbe gave him a bracha. I don't know. Look, Label Zisman. You remember Label Zisman from the Young Israel? So Label Zisman, so he, his wife wrote, he had an incredible story, how he survived the wars beyond imagination. He came close to death, like a cat has seven lives, what is it, cat has nine lives. He had 100 lives. He came near death 100 times. And miraculously, every single time he was in a matzah of bikuach nefesh, he survived. And his wife, he was nifter not that long ago. His wife wrote, did he write it? Who wrote the biography? Fascinating. He wrote and she published it. Then they have a second edition already. So the question is, and he didn't have Arich, unfortunately, I mean, he had Arich HaSyon, but he wasn't 100 years old and he was nifter. I don't know how old he was when he lived, but he survived. The question is, this is not normal. What's the chus? So he basically says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, not the Lubavitcher Rebbe's, which one, the sixth or the fifth? The fifth Rebbe. The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, his father took him in the beginning of the war, right before the war broke out, for a bracha, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe very seriously gave him a bracha that he should survive. And he says, it's Pashat, it was that bracha that of the Rebbe that gave him this koyach to overcome Mamash Nisim and the Floyds to survive what he went through. You always ask the question, so people, you know, they like, so thinking that is not a violation. There's something to learn from. If there's something to learn from, it's Kedai. Okay, let's see.
Some of those answers are, I didn't come late to my shiurim, so the students would have to stand up for me.
Right.
It's interesting.
Each one has a different perspective. Each one. I remember someone once told me, if you talk about Goyim, talk about Havdil, Elf Havdil Avdolus, Bush W. So I heard someone speaking. Bush W on paper, all the politicians, people know about, but Mezocha, how was he Zocha to be president? He's not the smartest and the brightest. He was not the most politically adept. And yet he, two terms, president of the United States? It's really surprising if you study all what goes on in the world of politics, how he made it to this. Mamash Hashem picked him. So someone said to me, someone says, I studied Bush W. a lot. I'm really heavily steeped in these type of things. And I studied and I read up on him. And there's something that just rings in my head and I can't get out of my head. I just can't let it go. He had a brother that died. He had a younger, but he had a brother. Barbara Bush was mother, right? And his father, George, and they had a whole number, I don't know how many children they had, but besides the ones here in the news, but Jeb and this and that one, there was another brother. And this brother died very, very young. And Barbara Bush was in very, very, as can be imagined, very deep mourning over the loss of this child, of George Bush's, George, his brother. His what?
He had a daughter that died at age 3 or something.
No, there was a son also, I think. No, it was a daughter. Maybe I'm making a mistake. A daughter? Okay, it was a daughter. And he says that his mother was in deep, deep mourning. And George W., who was then a little boy, was at home with his mother. And he had a certain sense that his mother had comfort when he was home. She was able to somehow deal with the tragedy in a better way. And his friends kept on coming over to the house again and again and again, begging him to come play, to go to the game, to go here, to go there, to go there. And he was chalishing to go. He mamish, these were his friends, the time of his life when it's all about. But he felt, and he can't tell them, and he writes about it. You have to read his biography, what he wrote. He felt enormous pressure to go, and he wanted desperately to go, but he realized the right thing is to be with his mother. His mother is mourning over the loss of her child. He has to be here for her. It's a child. We're not dealing over here with anyone. And this fellow who read up on everything there is to read about George W. Bush, he says to me, he's a firm fellow, he says to me, I don't know how the ways of Hashem, I don't know. All I know is, it's very strange that he was selected by Hashem to be the President of the United States. And this story is just a very, to me, he said, it resonates with me as a very powerful story. A very big schus for a person. You don't know. Who knows? I know we know from nothing. This is my hergish. a person, sometimes people have zuchusim, and those zuchusim take them through life. Again, this is just one person, but you're saying, you look at the Gemara, everyone in the Gemara, b'meh herachdayon, every single Tana Amora gives a whole different opinion. Because I did this, because I did this, because I did this. No one really knows, but a person, leiv yodea moras nafshay. Every person has a certain sensitivity as what keeps them ticking, what keeps them going. And like you say, you don't really know. Every person is different. Here, he's teaching us a halacha, yalolcha zov loypicha, but there are exceptions, especially in a situation where the exception can be used as a teaching method, to teach. It does not say in Sefer HaChassidim that you're allowed to praise yourself to defend yourself, which is very common. When people, they're in court, okay, the judge wants to give them a very, very intense sentence. So it's one thing when the community comes out and says, you know, this fellow, he made a mistake, but don't lock him up for life. He's really a good person. He made a terrible mistake. So whatever, give him what you have to give him, but don't overdo it. It's another thing when you have to come and defend yourself. Yaloch, you have to defend yourself. Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line in giving over your own praise, praising yourself as a defense? It's interesting, that's not what it says here in the Sefer HaChassidim. It only makes one exception. The only exception to praise yourself is when what you say about yourself can be used as a way to teach, to be an inspiration. He does not say that praising yourself is acceptable as the means of defense. L'chore, the best means of defense is to say, I'm guilty. Chotasi avisi pashati. Yeah.
And the question is, are you considered today the greatest legal Jewish scholar in England today? And he said yes.
He's under oath.
Yeah.
Well, that's a different story. He's under oath.
Whatever. Yeah.
He's under oath. It's a very big difference.
I know, but you see that there are circumstances.
What is the exception? He was under oath. He didn't expect that question to be asked. Had he known they would ask that question, he was able to maneuver himself that he should not be asked that question, not be involved. Maybe he would say, I don't want to brag about myself. He was under, I never would imagine they would ask me such a question. I had no choice to take an oath because of the situation. So then what are you going to do? Yeah, what are you going to do? If he is acknowledged as being the preeminent authority, you have no choice. It's different.
Besides which, he's being asked if he's considered by others.
Okay, let's take a very short break for literally 2 minutes, and then we're going to learn about the parasha until Mincha. Mayor, what time is Mincha? 12:05. Okay.
Most of them are over 90. The even here was coming. It was 90 was coming. Walking, he can give you the best of all.
That's right.
You know this thing with nicknames.
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea of a last name is a pretty recent thing. My mother told me in Europe they would call someone like Mrs. Defect, Moshe the Blender, or Chaim the Hinkadinka, or Chaim the Grabe Yidina, and they had physical things. Also, they were called by their trade. Chaim the Sheesman, Mendel the Schneider.
The train,
But they used physical defects.
Wow.
And very, you know, this thing with physical defects, one of the things the Shatranim used to do here, in one town there was a girl who had one eye, and the next town there was a guy who lived and my mother said they made the most beautiful children.
Wow.
So that's the whole thing of nicknames.
You know who the person is.
Yeah.
Said I just met somewhere that if someone a resume says I did this, I is no good. No
exactly.
Good. You can say the same thing without starting the sentence with I.
Exactly. That means it's a personality. Right. Are they going to be a very difficult person to work with?
Yeah.
It's all about them. Exactly. There's many
that's
ways.
That's why some people say we. It really is I, but they don't say I. So we were involved in some.
There's a way to get across your skill set without being about that. I'm qualified. I'll prove it to you. Without. Shmei?
Yeah.
Shmei?
Yeah.
Mutlai. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. It says you have to get it. True. Okay, Rabbi, so we have a few minutes. I want to talk about the parasha. In this week's parasha, we learn about